When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was a monster Monday, the final day of September. And so right now we're in the final few hours of the month of September, which kind of blows me away. Finally, the Major League Baseball regular season is in the books. Rearview mirror, it is behind us. And so on Tuesday, October 1st, in mere hours, we've got the first of the wild card games, and the schedule is official now, with the Braves and the Mets both earning wild cards in the National League. We'll talk about those games on Monday coming up. We've got our four games on Tuesday and Wednesday, and maybe even Thursday. We shall see. But first, we got to get to Tuesday and Wednesday. The Detroit Houston series and the KC Baltimore series, you already knew. Those are the first two games that take place on Tuesday at the home of the Astros, who've been to seven straight ALCSs. Sounds so awkward. And then the Royals will be in Camden Yards in Baltimore to take on the O's. So those American League series, we've known those for a few days. Sweet stuff coming in forms of fresh blood in the American League Central with the Tigers and the Royals, but also with the Mets and the Braves needing an extra day to settle it all in Atlanta. It was a lot of fun to watch those two teams and think about the possibilities, but now it's time to get serious because the Mets are on the road at Milwaukee and the Braves will take on the Red Hot Padres. And, of course, having to play on Monday maybe puts them in a bind as they travel. And what do you do about pitching as you move forward? But it's a good problem to have. Better to be the Mets or Braves than to be the Diamondbacks, who don't have to worry about pitching at all moving forward. And that's tough for them, of course. Helpless, all they could do was watch that doubleheader on Monday. The Mets will start Luis Severino against the Brewers in the opener of that wildcard series. Have not yet gotten the announcement from the Braves, but those are your four series that will be played in about 12 hours from now. You'll be either planted in front of a TV or you'll be listening on the radio because it can be just as good that way if you happen to have a job. A job? Really? Do you have a job? That's when the baseball starts. Oh, October means officially postseason baseball, and it begins just about 12 hours from now. The order is the same on Wednesday. Houston, Baltimore, Milwaukee, and San Diego. Those are the host sites. And I've already seen our friend Robert Ford, who is the longtime play-by-play announcer of the Astros, responding to fans who are ticked off that Houston's playing in the middle of the daytime. It happened last year, too. And I know Orioles fans get upset as well. It's baseball. What are you going to do? They set the schedule, and I can imagine that they've got their reasons. A lot of it has to do with TV, so don't blame me. Don't shoot the messenger. Just know that this is baseball. And they do have obligations for their various partners, broadcast partners and advertisers and all that jazz. But at least you know the schedule is the same for both Tuesday and Wednesday. That's the baseball postseason part of Monday. We also found out that baseball's hit king, Pete Rose, passed away sometime on Monday. Details are, at this point, not readily available, only that his family and the coroner in Nevada have confirmed that he did pass away. There's no cause of death given. He was 83 years old, and someone from his family found him. So there's no suspicions of foul play, only that they do have to investigate to determine the cause and the manner of death. But over the weekend, he was signing autographs at a show in Nashville with some of his former teammates. And then on Monday, found in Clark County, Nevada, by a family member. And we could go on and on about his accolades and what he meant to the game of baseball. Even though he was banished in 1989, we continue to talk about him, speak his name, debate his Hall of Fame merits versus his ban from baseball. And so we could list all of his accomplishments and talk about his resume in the game, the fact that he is still baseball's hit king after all these years. With 4,256, he was a World Series champion three times over, 17-time All-Star, a National League MVP, a World Series MVP, and you may not know that he still holds the Major League record for the number of games played, more than 3,500, plate appearances, nearly 16,000 of them, and then the National League record for the longest hitting streak at 44 games in a row. His nickname was Charlie Hustle because of how he played. It was all gas, no brakes, and I dare say that's how he lived his life as well when he could. Some irony now that all of the sports leagues, including baseball, embrace gambling, though not athletes, managers, coaches. In fact, if an athlete, a manager, a coach were found to be gambling on his or her sport as much as Pete Rose has now admitted or did admit to years later, that person would also be banned. So it's not that outrageous. Maybe it was at the time in 1989 that he was banned from the game. But that's likely to be the punishment, to be the decision made if anyone else chooses to walk in those shoes or to walk that path. He later admitted, after years of denying that he bet on baseball, that at times he was placing bets 5 days a week. And think about the scandal with Shohei Ohtani's interpreter and how people are confident that Shohei had to be betting on baseball. And even then, people were calling for a lifetime ban without even knowing for sure that he had anything to do with gambling on his own sport or gambling on any other sport. So as much as Pete Rose became the poster boy for gambling on his sport, his punishment, his banishment, not all that different from what would happen today because of how close the connection with baseball, football, basketball, hockey. There needs to be this hard line drawn, even as the leagues are in bed with gambling organizations and with sports books, and even as we talk about it routinely in sports radio and TV. But athletes, coaches, managers are expected to remain separate, chaste in this area. Pete Rose was ahead of his time. It wasn't legal then. It's legal now. And I dare say at some point we will have an athlete who will also be banished from his sport like Pete Rose was for betting. But because Pete was decades ahead, although he did get to see it, he did get to see the prolific relationship that gambling, sports betting now have with the leagues themselves, the teams, the number of states that have legalized sports betting. And for that reason, I know there was still a major push to put the kibosh on the banishment and to get him into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So we continue to talk about him long after he had retired, long after the book was closed on his near quarter of a century as a player. Even he would make money off of signing his memorabilia, and that was how he paid his bills for years. It was a complicated, certainly colorful, I'd say oft-criticized life away from baseball. But the one thing you could say about Pete Rose is he did it his own way. Not a perfect man in any way. Not a hero. Not an idol. But someone that we never stopped talking about, acknowledging, and also understanding his impact on the game, too. I've said this before about the steroid era and the steroid users in Major League Baseball. It represents a relatively recent change of mine that the whole should be, even if those guys aren't individually invited into the Hall of Fame, maybe they don't have the same pomp and circumstance that comes with the players who go in through the proper channels. But I do believe that the Hall should have its own steroid wing or its own area where it embraces the parts of its past that are seedier and shadier and sketchier. And you could point to mistakes, bad decisions, poor choices, criminal choices that Pete Rose made, accusations that have been leveled at him, lawsuits, all that kind of thing. But that's not a reason ever that we've kept athletes out of the various halls of fame. In fact, we could probably go through the vast majority of Hall of Famers in baseball and come up with something in their past. So these are not perfect men. They're just really good at baseball. And I do think the Hall of Fame should acknowledge its darker, seedier past. The kind of stuff that is better left in a dark alley. Because you can't tell the story of baseball without all of these various chapters. And whether or not he is ever inducted posthumously, that's certainly a debate. He won't ever know it. At some point, I think baseball does owe it to the fans and owe it to the game to acknowledge, right, these various ways that the game got off course and that athletes got off course and how the game was forever changed by some of these various eras. So Pete Rose, I'm sure, will get a groundswell of support even as he's laid to rest once again to induct him into the Baseball Hall of Fame. But it kind of rings hollow now. At 83 years old, is there ever a player, certainly a baseball player, that cast a larger shadow, or that was still so relevant decades later? I know that every time Ohtani came up in the spring, people would use that as an opportunity to state their case once again for Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Those two things have nothing to do with each other, but that was how passionate many baseball fans remained over the course of Pete's life. And I'm sure the debate, the discussion, it will, again, get fuel to the fire and continue even as baseball bids farewell on what was the final day of the baseball regular season. You know what I didn't realize? He broke the hit record. Ty Cobb's hit record. And that was Pete's hero, Ty Cobb. He broke his hit record on September 11th. Pre-9/11, when that date became so much more significant in our nation's history. But I didn't realize it was September 11th, 1985. I don't remember watching Pete Rose ever play baseball. I wasn't into pro sports when I was that young. So I don't recall ever watching him play. Obviously, there are zillions of videos out there. We even have some of our own play-by-play, radio and TV play-by-play of some of the more memorable moments and achievements in his career. I have no doubt that he will be remembered, talked about, again, even debated, his legacy in this next month as we go forward through the playoffs. Also, it's, I think, as important to mention, and this is a guy I saw play, that Dikembe Mutombo passed away from brain cancer on Monday. He was not only a unique player, we'd never quite seen anything like him in terms of the shot blocking and the defense, and I loved watching him play, but he became a global ambassador for basketball and for the NBA. His humanitarian outreaches and projects, his humanitarian works, to me, even more important, impactful, and critical than what he did when he was on the court. And that's saying something. If you haven't seen it, you can check out our show Twix at Amy After Hours. And you'll see a video that the NBA released about Dikembe Mutombo with his signature finger wagging back and forth whenever he would defend the hoop. That's a lasting image that I have of Dikembe, but also his big smile. He spent so much time abroad, so much time at home as an ambassador for basketball, and always had this gigantic smile. A gentle giant, if you will, except for when he was defending the iron. So it was a monster Monday for a lot of reasons. On the football field, two more games to wrap up week four in the NFL. In one game, we had Mason Rudolph and Tyler Huntley as the starting quarterbacks. But not before Will Levis turned the ball over for the ninth time this season, which is tops in the NFL, and then with a shoulder injury, exited. It was a mess. The Titans and the Dolphins had primarily field goals, all field goals in the first half. Neither team got into the red zone until late in the third quarter, and then it was the Titans. This was tough sledding for the Dolphins. Tennessee picks up its first win. There's that. They all count the same. And maybe this is exactly what the Titans need. But goodness, this is a tough row to hoe for Mike McDaniel. The reports about Tua, we heard them on Monday. We'll pass them along to you. The second game, it's like night and day from Dolphins-Titans. A near perfect game for one Jared Goff. Not only because he was 18 for 18, but because he was on the receiving end of a touchdown pass from his top receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Pretty cool moment for Jared. And you'll hear from him as the Lions move to 3-1. In what is a veritable shootout against the Seahawks. Geno Smith had a career-high passing yards. But it's all for naught against the Lions. So we have got a ton to get to. Excited about that. My friend Jessica Kleinschmidt, who is a longtime A's reporter. They're no longer the Oakland A's. As of Sunday, they're just the A's. Until they officially move to Vegas, they're not calling them the Sacramento A's. They're just the A's. They're a team without a country. She's worked with the team for years and was there last week at the Coliseum on the occasion of the final few games, including Thursday's day game that had a packed house. I already did tweet about her in her interview. If you go to her account, if you find that tweet at A-Law Radio and you go to her account, you'll see a bunch of her photos from the last day at the Coliseum. Her emotions, her stories. She will join us from the Bay Area a little bit later on the show. So yeah, a lot to get to. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, I dare say we could get some write-in votes for Jared Goff. But that poll is still ongoing for another couple hours on both Twix and Facebook. We'll also have your candidates for TD of the Week. And we'll jump into football straight ahead. Are you kidding? It's the end of September. How did that happen? But buckle up, because October is the busiest month. The busiest month in sports. You may have heard, noticed, NHL preseason's going on. NBA media days are taking place because their training camps are about to get underway. The WNBA playoffs are into their semifinals. MLS is still attracting major crowds in different pockets of the country. College football, it's veritable insanity. But I love it. It's good for business. Keeps us busy. 855-212-4227. Glad to have you with us. Hope you survived your Manic Monster Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In the Wildcat. Fake. Spears around right end. There's nobody there. Just the green grass of the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Tajay Spears says, I will do it myself for a big six.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
That was the first touchdown of the game. First red zone appearance for either the Titans or the Miami Dolphins. And it came late in the third quarter. It was a 10-point lead right then for the Titans over the Dolphins. And
when it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And did you have the sense that that was pretty much ball game? This was NFL football. But for a long time, it did not resemble NFL football. For most of the game, it was a tough watch. So I am quite certain that the NFL powers that be are really grateful that they scheduled another game on Monday night. Could you imagine if this was the only Monday night game? And oh, the jokes. But for the second straight week, we end up with a straddled doubleheader on Monday Night Football. And Titans, Dolphins, the first one to start, the first one to end. And I think mercifully, in many cases, gets overshadowed by Seattle and Detroit, which we'll talk about on the back half of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Mason Rudolph took over for Will Levis in this one after Will had, I guess, a diving attempt to pick up a first down. He was pulled from the game. He was checked out in the blue tent dealing with some shoulder pain. And Brian Callahan, though he did pull him in this game after Will ended up with his ninth turnover, tops in the NFL. Callahan is not making a quarterback change.
His health and protecting him, particularly with the bye week and the shoulder that didn't feel great. I didn't want to put him back out there, and I knew I was going to run the ball quite a bit. So that was really what it factored. But he's our starter when he's healthy, and we're ready to roll with him.
So Will Levis will be back whenever he is ready to go. But Mason Rudolph rides again. How about that? We got to see Joe Flacco this weekend. We get to see Mason Rudolph. These are quarterbacks that had played a significant role in the AFC North in a previous lifetime. So Rudolph takes over, but he actually said, I didn't do a whole lot. And they really didn't ask him to throw the ball a bunch, though he did have 17 attempts. He was under 85 yards. Levis only had 25 yards. So between the two of them, they just had 110 yards passing. Tyler Huntley didn't even have that. He was in triple digits himself. So this was much more about the run game. 30 attempts on the ground for Miami, which did include a bunch of attempts for Huntley. And then 142 rushing yards for the Titans on 40 carries. So of the plays, you had 70 handoffs. Rudolph, though, he was solid. For him to not turn the ball over, that's what you always want from a backup quarterback. He didn't do that. They were able to get what they needed on the ground. Also got Tony Pollard into the end zone after a long run of 41 yards up the left side. So for Tennessee just to find a way to win, that's all Mason Rudolph was concerned about.
It feels great to win and to get Callie his first big one down on, you know, primetime football. But it's always good to celebrate in the locker room. And you know, for a coach's first win, it's big time.
Nick Folk with 5 field goals, so that's a big deal. Mike Keith with the calls on the Titans Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. You can vote for Monday MVP. Derrick Henry, well, he's racing out in front of the field like we saw him on Sunday night, right? The days all blend together. Yes, Sunday night for the Ravens as they flattened the Bills. So he's getting the majority of your vote. So I dare say if Jared Goff was in the poll, he might get some more. So we'll talk about Jared following the update. On the other side of the field, Mike McDaniel, his offense really struggling. The update on Tua, though, is he's not experiencing any symptoms right now from the concussion, from the series of concussions he's had now going back to 2019. Multiple sources indicating that he's actually feeling good. Not that he's been cleared, not that he's coming back to play football anytime soon, but that he isn't dealing with any of those symptoms that you might associate with concussions, severe ones, headaches, aversion to bright light, maybe sometimes dizziness. And there's a lot of different ways they can affect you. But he is on injured reserve for at least 2 more games. The Mike McDaniel offense is built around him, and I think it's really clear that that's the case. It's not a system where you can plug and play a different quarterback. And then when you consider the receivers that they've got, Jalen Waddle, who had a pre-existing relationship with Tua going back to college, Tyreek Hill, who's worked with him extensively. Yeah, it's tough to bring in Tyler Huntley, who didn't sign with the team until week 3. And then Tyreek Hill and he not being on the same page. If you were watching the early part of this game, Tyreek dropped a pass that was actually a lateral once they looked at it on review. So there was one in which they just weren't connecting. But also there was a ball that Tyreek Hill could have taken for a long touchdown had Tyler Huntley not underthrown him. All right, so there were a couple of instances where you can see that not having Tua or having a quarterback that these guys aren't used to, Tyler even said himself that if I had 1,000 practice reps, I might be okay. I might know the playbook. I might know the receivers, but that's obviously not the case. And certainly Mike McDaniel not holding anything against him.
He had a lot of his plate, and I thought he was a competitor all the way through.
The Dolphins got into the red zone just one time, though they did score, and they were 2 for 12 on third down. And the look on McDaniel's face on the sideline just told the whole story.
On the field, that's not even close to good enough. So it will. You just have to go back to the drawing board.
Again, 2 more games without Tua. If he's cleared to play right after he gets off IR, we don't know about Skylar Thompson, only that he's still injured. It was a mess. You just have to go back to the drawing board. But Miami had under 200 total yards, and about half of their yards came on their one touchdown drive. This is clearly not what the Dolphins had in mind when they kicked off the season. And it dawned on me as I was watching part of this game, I wonder now if Mike McDaniel is still harping on the number 24. Remember, he said that going back to the offseason. And guys who work around him or media members, they would hear him starting every conversation, every meeting, every phone call with the number 24. Because that's how long it's been since the Dolphins have won a playoff game. 24 years. I don't know if he's still hammering that home because this is not how they drew it up. And if Tua comes back, maybe there's a chance to put yourself back in the conversation for a wild card. But without Tua, without the engine This vehicle does not go. This car does not run. If we're talking about standings in the NFL now, based on this game, you've got the Dolphins in that same spot as the Patriots in the AFC East, both 1-3. And then the Titans get their first win, so they're now 1-3 out of the basement of the AFC South. Kind of interesting to think about the teams in the AFC that are 1-3. Did you think that this is how it would play out through the first month? The Titans 1-3, maybe you did, in Brian Callahan's first season. The Bengals and Browns, both 1-3. The Patriots and Dolphins, 1-3. I enjoyed reading your responses as I was asking you about the wacky and weird from the first month of the NFL season. And you can still find that post at Amy After Hours, along with our Monday MVP poll. It's also up on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming back, we'll talk more about Lions and Seahawks and what was a shootout taking place in Detroit. I'm still trying to decide if I like the all-black uniforms, but you can let me know what you think. The helmets, those are fire. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Pete McCarthy.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, Amy, this report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save with your bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Jared Goff did more than just throw the ball for the Lions.
Jared on the end around gives it to Amon-Ra. He's going to throw it to Jared. It's to the end zone. Jared Goff. Oh, baby, on the receiving end of a pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, Ben Johnson, I see you too. That is beautiful stuff. That is Monday night magic.
Lions radio. The Lions offense looking explosive again, outdoing the Seahawks 42-29. Goff slung it too. 18 of 18 passing, the first in league history to not have an incompletion on more than 10 attempts in a game. Both the Lions and Seahawks are now 3-1. Not much Monday night magic in Miami. The Titans topped the Dolphins 31-12 despite losing quarterback Will Levis to a shoulder injury. Mason Rudolph took over, led the Titans on 7 scoring drives, 5 of them finishing with Nick Folk field goals. Major League Baseball's all-time hit king, Pete Rose, has died at 83 years old. Rose starred for the Reds as part of the Big Red Machine, who's nicknamed Charlie Hustle. He's part of 3 World Series winning teams, 2 with the Reds and another with the Phillies in 1980. Despite his obviously Hall of Fame-worthy credentials, Rose is not in the Hall of Fame. An investigation found that Rose had bet on baseball, something Rose denied until he wrote an autobiography in 2004 admitting that he did bet on baseball, including Reds games. Rose claimed he never bet against his team. Basketball Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo has died of brain cancer at 58 years old. Mutombo played 18 NBA seasons. He was named the Defensive Player of the Year 4 times. Baseball, the Mets and Braves split a doubleheader in Atlanta. That's the quick version, an insane game one. Francisco Lindor, the go-ahead home run in the 9th. Quick turnaround for both teams. The Mets will go to Milwaukee for the wild card round. The Braves won game 2 of the doubleheader, so they are heading to San Diego. Arizona eliminated. I'm Pete McCarthy.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
With a pair of football games on a Monday night. I can do without 2 games on a Monday night. Man alive, I'm glad we're done with that. At least I think we are. I haven't checked the whole Monday night schedule, but I don't think it's something we're going to continue through the rest of the season, thankfully. It seems like a big continuation of Sunday, honestly. Not that the NFL took me into consideration, but now we've got baseball in the mix as well. So it was one heck of a monster Monday in sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We certainly got all the scoring in the Seattle-Detroit matchup in the Motor City. This was wrapping up week number 4, and the Lions were trying to double dip, right? So get that victory on the road in Arizona, and then make sure they get back home and they find more of a solid ground when it comes to their offense, more of a rhythm, more of a flow. I liked what we saw from their defense in the desert last weekend, but the offense was a little stunted at times. Well, gosh, not anymore. They were able to use the run game early. David Montgomery rushing touchdown, a pair of TDs for Jahmyr Gibbs. They were up by a couple of touchdowns heading into the third quarter, and then it got a little dicey.
Jared leans in. There's the snap. Jared on the end around gives it to Amon-Ra. He's going to throw it to Jared. It's to the end zone. Jared Goff. Oh, baby, on the receiving end of a pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, Ben Johnson, I see you too. That is beautiful stuff. That is Monday night magic.
That play's been in for a long time, and it's just never gotten we've never gotten to the right situation for it to get called. And then I think we actually have called it in a game before. And then if it's not the right look, I get out of it. But that was the right look.
It definitely was. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who actually had the lateral to Jahmyr Gibbs last week that went for a touchdown pass of sorts, if you will. He was the one who received that ball from Jared and then turned around and shoveled it to his running back who had come straight through the line and was into the second level of the defense. And boom, Gibbs was gone to the house. So look at that, Amon-Ra, as a facilitator. And they've used him for various passing plays at different points over the course of his Lions tenure. He and Jared Goff are turning into a prolific combination, and we saw a bunch of that in various ways on Monday. Coming out of halftime, 5 consecutive touchdown drives. So it was a bit of anything you can do, I can do better. Not that we saw DK Metcalf passing to Geno Smith for a touchdown, but we did see Geno using his workhorse, Kenneth Walker, back on the field again for the Seahawks.
Hand off to Walker, tries to dive for the end zone. He drives in. I think he got there. He does. Touchdown, Seahawks. Ken Walker dives in from a yard out. His second touchdown run of the night. And again, Seahawks close the gap. It's the Lions 28, the Seahawks 20.
Goff turns, fakes to Gibbs. They pick up the blitz. Goff throws. It is caught. Goff,
go, baby, go.
The yard line.
It
that is. J-Mo, forget it. Easy. Gone. Seahawks. Nobody's going to catch him. You can't catch that man. J-Mo to the house, 70 yards from Jared Goff.
Oh.
And he slams it over the goal post. That's going to draw a penalty. You can't do that. But damage done. Jameson Williams up into the crowd for the celebration.
And he made that look easy.
Oh,
we made that look so
goodness.
Easy. That speed, Dan. Oh, my goodness. It looked like he's running in slow motion. He's so fast.
Yeah, perfect play call.
There was a lot of that. There was creative play calling. There was terrific execution. We had guys who would win fantasy football matchups if you had them in your lineup on Monday. And Kenneth Walker, one of those, a dozen carries for 80 yards and three touchdowns. So he was busy. Also caught 4 passes. Then you had Geno Smith, who passed 56 times. So this was the opposite of what we got in the other Monday night game. A career high 395 passing yards for Geno Smith. He did have a touchdown, but also an interception at the end of the game. So when the Lions were safely ahead by multiple scores. And you had Jared Goff catching a touchdown, but also throwing a ball maybe 30 yards in the air, 25 yards in the air to Jameson Williams, who then was able to get up the sideline and high step the final 15 15 yards into the end zone. You want to talk about prolific. 7.8 yards per play for the Lions offense on this night. 5 for 5 in the red zone. And this is despite the fact that they had a dozen penalty flags. There were touchdowns and yards to be had without a doubt. So Seattle ends up falling to Detroit 42-29. And the Seahawks had, and I actually heard Kevin Harlan go back over their history recently. Seattle had the best of Detroit for quite a while. So Lions are able to return these favors now. I think that the Lions are in a position of power. It hasn't been this way for years. The fan base knows it well. But they're able to get some paybacks if they were keeping receipts. And you cannot do much better than what we saw from Jared Goff on Monday night. A perfect 18 for 18, 292 passing yards, a couple of touchdowns. Of course, he caught the one in the second half from Amon-Ra. A few sacks in there, but other than that, this was as good as Goff can play.
I did not know he was literally 18 for 18. But I knew he played really well. You could feel it. And he really found his rhythm early, and I thought he was seeing the field, played with rhythm. He had to move a little bit in the pocket. I thought what really kick-started him is the, you know, he had to kind of move in the pocket, got spun around, and hung with J-Mo and hit him on the hook for the first down. It was big, man, because he was rolling after that.
Never. I don't think I've ever done it. I knew I did it in the first half last week, so I was aware of it then. And I was kind of aware of it today, about middle of the third quarter. I was like, I couldn't think of one. But then I threw the one out of bounds. It ended up being offensive pass interference. And I was like, does that count? I didn't know if that counted. I didn't know if that counted or not. But yeah, it's a good day.
He doesn't often show a lot of humor. His humor is a little drier, and he delivers his lines with a face that's deadpan. But Jared Goff, yeah, I definitely think he's growing on people. Man, did he get criticized a ton early in his career with the Rams and the way that they unceremoniously shipped him out of town, essentially unceremoniously dumped him. So it was good. It is good for him to find a home with the Lions. He ended his press conference by saying go Tigers. So he now considers Detroit home. And you can tell not only did he and Dan Campbell have a great relationship, but he is the leader of that offense. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, looking at our standings now. The NFC North, I'm telling you, it packs a punch. 4-0 Vikings on top. I can't wait for Vikings and Lions, man. Vikings, then Lions at 3-1. Packers and Bears are both 2-2. And the AFC North, while it's kind of languishing behind a bit, maybe the NFC North has taken over as the toughest division in football. And as for Geno Smith, missing a couple of guys, though. He and DK Metcalf, they're usually good for some fireworks in every game, but still one of the best records in the NFC.
We're 3-1. That's what it says. And now we got to get on to the next one. You know, that's just football. It's NFL football. You know, I think the only team that went undefeated was the 72 Dolphins. So, you know, we're just trying to go out there and win every game we can. And, you know, today we didn't get it done, but that's what we got next week. So we're going to improve and get back on it and get ready for next week.
Not a good enough performance on our front. Got to give Detroit a lot of credit. I thought they had a great plan offensively. They just outplayed us on the defensive side of the ball for us. I will tell you this, our guys fought the heck out of that game. They went down to the last second, and that's what I'm most proud of right now.
Mike McDonald talking about his 3-1 Seahawks, and he focuses on the defense. Not being good enough against the Lions offense, of course, that's going to happen to a lot of teams. But man, the Seahawks amassed 516 yards of offense. They did have a couple of turnovers, and they couldn't keep up in the shootout. But their offense was prolific as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles, plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.